Welcome to episode 37 of the Python Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and with me, as always, and welcome back, Mr. Stephen Ridkin.
Welcome back indeed. Hello, Roger. And as most will probably hear this tomorrow, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to all the folk across the pond and to those pseudo-Americans that we've probably thought of Americans around our leagues, and for Canadian people that are Australian.
And we will gratefully take the holiday as a good excuse to have another game day of football.
Yes, it's always a bonus for us guys in the UK. So it's all about getting out of work at a sensible time and making sure that you are set up for an evening of football.
Yeah, so looking forward to tomorrow. It's Wednesday ahead of week 12 already as we record this, and a bit of an apology that it's taken a couple of weeks or so since our last episode.
Yes, apologies for myself. It's been probably a combination of the pair of us. Schedules have never really been on the same page, and ironically I was off last week and busier being off. Me and my wife were off together, but you know, back into the routine and episode 37.
Yes, so in a way a lot to recap. There's been almost so many stories passing us by, so we'll look to touch on a few things that take our fancy in the NFL landscape.
But I think first we will hand it over to yourself with some not pre-recorded goodness, recapping, and then we'll welcome back and touch on some, as you say, stories from the last few weeks.
Here are your classified results of the last 3 weeks across our Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Leagues, starting with the Move the Sticks Leagues back in week 9, Gobias Industries beat Eskimo Bros database, I've Made a Huge Mistake beat New York Bozo, Cowboy Crusaders beat the Rudders Niners 111 in a high scoring game to 97, the Denviago Lagers won a close one over Scratch and Sniff by 1 point, Fanatics won 109-80 over Old Man Strength, and the D-Train won by 1 point over Tony and the Playmakers 102-101. In week 9 in the Hall of Lame, the future Hall of Lamers beat Tony's team in that one, the Intimidators. A Real Americans American team top scored for the week with 133 to beat the G-Men. Unruly Moustache took down the Macclesfield Mannings. Gronk If You're Horny won over Zach Stacey's mom. Bootzilla won over Stockholm Stiff Arms from Sweden. And the Magicians Alliance carried on their winning streak, beating Forest Green Army. In the Pipe and Slippers Dynasty League in week 9, the Negatrons took down Silent Assassin. The Deflated Footballs beat the Honey Badgers. Compromised Underpants beat Tony's X-Factors. It's Like Giving Candy to a Baby top scored in that division for the week, beating Crunch Time with 139 points. Gronk If You're Horny took down the One Cheddars, and Lombardi Slap beat Sharky's One. Moving on to week 10, and in the Move the Sticks League, Rudders Niners beat Younger Brothers team Gobias Industries. Dambiago Lagers won again, beating New York Bozo. The D-Train beat Rogers I've Made a Huge Mistake. And the Cowboy Crusaders took down the Fanatics. Old Man Strength continued their losing streak to lose to Scratch and Sniff. And Eskimo Bros beat Playmakers. In the Hall of Lame League in week 10, Magicians Alliance won again over future Hall of Lamers. Rogers Macclesfield Mannings lost to Dylan and Real Americans American team. The Intimidators beat Zach Stacey's mom. The G-Men gave another loss to Henrik and Stockholm Stiff Arms. Bootzilla took down James and Gronk If You're Horny. And Unruly Moustache beat bottom team Forest Green Army. In week 10 in the Pipe and Slippers League, Lombardi Slap won again and beat the Negatrons. The Honey Badgers took down the X-Factors. Silent Assassin beat the Crunch Time. And Deflated Footballs beat Gronk If You're Horny. It's like giving canning to a baby while a narrow one over one cheddars and compromised underpants moved into the tuxedo role with the thrashing of Sharky's one. And now moving on to week 11 and back to the Move the Sticks League, and a very bitter manager of Gobias Industries lost 64-76 after what he feels a very dubious touchdown was given to the Sean McCoy on Monday Night Football to help the Lagers beat the Industries. Rudders Niners won 98-66, huge 37 points from Thomas Rolls for the Niners, helped him move into the 4th seed overall. A 7 win streak now for the D-Train as he won 102-58 over Fanatics, thanks to his Cam Newton-led offense. I've made a huge mistake, got back in the win column, 92-72 over Cowboy Crusaders to stay within a fighting chance of making the playoffs. Scratch and Sniff scored 93 points thanks to an abrasive touchdowns by Tyler Eifert to win over Eskimo Bros Database in Division 2 to tie that one up in a very close battle, all teams separated by just 2 wins. Playmakers won 85-55 over Old Man Strength. The trade that took place earlier in the season meant Carson Palmer took on his old owner, Old Man Strength, scored 24 points for the Playmakers, and took him to the win. Moving on to the Hall of Lame, and a tidy 21 points from a backup wide receiver duo of Kamar Aiken and Marquez Wilson helped the future Hall of Lamers win 75-57 to keep their playoff hopes alive. Intimidators won 86-67 over Real American's American team to move on to a 2-win streak in a battle for second place in Division 1. The Stockholm Stiff Arms lost to Magicians Alliance 99-75. The Magicians, led by Cam Newton, DeAndre Hopkins, and Matt Crosby. Unruly Moustache romped home 109-62 over Gronk If You're Horny to complete a 5-game win streak and move to 9-2 in the top seed overall, as Brady finally failed for James as Gronk If You're Horny slipped to a second loss in a row. Jonathan Stewart helped the Mannings to a win 84-62 as they moved to 4-7 in Division 3. And Bootzilla, thanks to 20 points by the Chiefs defense, won 117-61 to all but seal up Division 3 in the Hall of Lame. Finally, and our roundup will finish with the Pipe and Slippers Week 11 Dynasty League, and Russ the Celebrity QB scored 25 points for the Negatrons as they won 104-83 over the Deflated Footballs. Minus 1 points for the Eagles defense, all but lost it for the Honey Badgers as they narrowly lost 75-77 to Silent Assassin as they now move to 5-6, the Badgers to 7-4 in Division 1. Gronk If You're Horny won 84-71 thanks to a couple of touchdowns from Jeremy Hill. Compromised Underpants romped home to It's Like Giving Candy to a Baby 129-92 as they keep the battle for Division 2 tied up at 8-3 with the Negatrons. X Factors 104 to Crunch Times 72, led by Jameis and his 5 touchdowns against the Eagles for the X Factors as they top Division 3 at 6-5. Sharkies won out 82-65 over One Shedders thanks to a tidy 16 points for James White on Monday Night Football, helping the Sharkies move to 3-8 and second place in Division 3. And that is the end of your epic classified results for this show. Back to you, Roger.
Thank you for that, Stephen. Seamless as always. I'm no doubts about that.
Yeah, so, a lot of results and games to round up there. So it was. Hope I didn't go on too long with that.
No, you're not one. No one's ever accused you of that.
No, never. And I hope we don't lose some listeners during that extended period of.
That's why.
Monitoring.
That's why you have the fast forward button.
Yeah, I do enjoy listening to us at 1.5 speed. I must admit. Sometimes I can be a bit slow.
The only way you can get through it.
So one of the great features of podcasts on your Apple device, playing a little bit quicker, works out all right. So here we are, week 12 about to kick off. What, where do you want to head next?
Should we start with...
That size suggests you want to go to Cleveland.
Well, we've kind of just been talking about it. I don't want to dwell on it because it gets me cross. But I think we look, it's headline news, so we should definitely talk about it.
It is topical because I actually got some notes. When we were about to record last week, I was about to suggest we were going to talk about the good news, in a way, for the Browns, that they're going to go with Manziel for the rest of the season.
Embracing to see whether they had a franchise quarterback. And I mean, it's clear, without a shadow of a doubt, that Pettin does not like Manziel.
Yeah.
So that I have a bit of an issue with, because it's not his guy, and it's a clear indication that the front office and the coaching staff aren't on the same page, which is just a recipe for disaster. But if you put that aside, you know, and as we've talked on the podcast before and talked about in general, I'm a bit of a Manziel apologist, but on this occasion, just trying, you know, he is a celebrity, and whether that's right, wrong, I guess it's for another time, but because he is a recognisable face and because of what's gone before, someone's just keep it in your pants, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the way, it's always something, there's always one thing after another, and you think he's got it all straight, and he shows some nice glimpses on the field, and Johnny on the field's getting better, and everything around that, and then a bye week comes along and lets his hair down again.
Yeah, and in all honesty, if it was any other player doing that,
it was a completely harmless.
He's a 22, you know, he's a 22-year-old. You know, guy, you know, that's young, free, single, doing what most 22-year-old guys are doing. But yeah. You can't do it in his position. So, no. One, I've got an issue with Pettin, but don't give him a chance to, you know, hang you out to dry, because he's been itching for it.
Yeah, and it's obviously still, it's a little always unknown from us on the outside, the whole situation with the rehab, what, if there's stuff ongoing with that he's still trying to do, if the video is accurate and true that he's actually drinking and that's the issue, and so
rehab entails. Does the rehab entail that he's now a teetotaler? I mean, there's so much we don't know, but it's just frustrating because I was looking forward to seeing him on the field, and I think the Browns now, well. I mean, surely they're going to clear house in terms of the coaching staff, you would think.
Well, like you just said, then it's clear that the front office and the coaching staff aren't on the same page. So you're likely to think that Pettin gets shown the door.
But does that mean you're going to... I mean, I wouldn't want to be keeping Farmer. No. I mean, really, it feels like they've got a clean house. They've got to move on from Manziel. And they just need to find a coach and somebody on the same page. I mean, if it was me, I'd find a way of tying McCowan to another deal.
Yeah.
Worrying about strengthening the skill positions on that team, and not worrying about your next quarterback. I mean, I think that thing needs to be a 2 or 3 year project.
What's annoying, like, you think Pettin could keep his job for what he's done at times last year? They were competitive. The defense was a lot better last year. But this year, even you just watch him, and you talk about body language and everything on the sideline. When Johnny, it may be just his complete dislike for Johnny, but when he was the last game or so, if there's ever, he's just of no use.
The Cincinnati game, he looked thoroughly disinterested when Manziel was out on the field.
Didn't want to know about it. Really not the way a head coach should be on the sidelines. I may touch on the antics of another head coach on the sidelines later, which irritates the hell out of me. But anyway,
not the Bowls coach, is it, by any chance?
We'll see. So is Petten really the right coach to keep? Who knows? But is it just his complete dislike of Manziel that makes him a bit of a douchebag on the sidelines? Or is he the right man to try?
No, because in the book Collision Low Crosses, he comes across great. He really does. So,
but once again, is he a guy then that, you know what, he's a D coordinator and he can't be a head coach type personality?
And look, that, you know, I mean, Wade Phillips himself has professed to being, you know, that guy. I mean, look at the defences he's coordinated and struggled as a head coach.
Yeah.
I think before we get bogged down too much, I want to talk about maybe something positive. And I think Monday night's game was, for me, was a real positive. I looked at it from a positive light.
Yeah, I mean, what I really liked, even at, when it was still like a 10-10 game, it was a low-scoring affair. I know my brother would be thoroughly annoyed with that because, one, he likes fantasy points, and two, he likes it to be 30-34 shootouts. But for me, that type of game was what that battle between Ryan and Belichick's all about. The ongoing strategy that was going on in terms of the Bills' D-line versus the Pats'
O-line. Yeah, you know, they were bringing two, dropping one, and sometimes, you know, they were dropping everyone into cover. He really, really mixed it up and gave him some looks. And I think because the Pats' O-line was struggling that much, the fact that Brady, you know, found a way to get them over the line, you know, Gronk had a relatively quiet night, you know, and they lost Amendola, which could be huge going forward, but
I just find it incredible, though, that the Patriots managed to do an in-game adjustment to their O-line and switched out, brought Stork into the centre because they saw the youngster was struggling in there, and to do that type of thing, and almost it looked then like, okay, actually we need to shore it up in the middle and Brady can handle if there's more edge rush, but doing that type of thing is what Patriots do.
There was one throw, I think it was in the first half, so I think it was the second quarter where he stood in there and threw one down the seam. And, I mean, he was going to get absolutely pulverized. And you think he's, you know, what is he, 38 years old? And he just stands in there and takes a massive lick. But just pops up. I mean,
and some,
I was so impressed with the Patriots.
An exceptional catch by the other receiver, Harper, that was called back on a holding play. And he looks like a tidy little piece to plug into that offense.
Yeah, and I think the thing that they do better than other teams is that they put those players in positions to succeed. You know, they were talking on the Move the Sticks podcast about Cordell Patterson.
Yeah,
and they were talking about, you know, why has he struggled, and you know, well, he can maybe run three routes of the, you know, the roots routes. I always get confused American and English pronunciations there. I'm kind of going more of a route guy now. Route. That's good.
Yeah. Next year we're saying aluminum and tomato.
Zebra. But yeah, they're asking him to do probably more than it needs to be. And they were talking about, you know, Ted Ginn finding a nice little niche spot in Carolina. You know, they only ask him to sort of, you know, to sort of run, you know, routes where he's not asked to be stuttering or turning back. It's just kind of go routes, essentially. So, it's interesting stuff.
It was a fun game, and interestingly, you talk about that in terms of receivers. You almost need to play to what their strengths are, and that's what now I think seems to be something Rex is coming out realizing. They really need to force the issue more to target Watkins, because when he does get thrown the ball, he makes some great plays, but their game plan generally is to stick to the run and
And to be fair, we've watched them. I've certainly watched them twice because I watched the Jets game as well, which was a Thursday night game, was it?
Yeah.
Where they did the colour rush one, which you struggled with.
I gave up.
So, but watching that, Shady McCoy's running fantastically. Really is. And I don't find him a particularly likeable individual. But I have to admit, he's running really, really strong. And
he just seems to almost make space for himself. He doesn't look like he's actually ever running so fast, but he just seems to manage to get away from people. And it was him that, now you look back, that made the Chip Kelly offense look so amazing.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on that.
You keep thinking it was it was a quarterback-proof offense there over the Eagles, and that O-line and the scheme made runners great. Now you look at it, McCoy is just an exceptional level at getting into space and making moves, and he made that Eagles offense look good, and he's making the Bills look good too.
Exactly.
So, with the positives there. I'll leave off the negatives that I could rant on about.
Next thing to talk about is I guess, positives and negatives. Backup quarterbacks.
Christian Ponder's just been signed to backup Brock Osweiler.
This is correct.
Whilst Peyton has a boot on for a couple of weeks now.
So, million dollar question, is Manning done in Denver?
No one knows really. I guess, you know, that I like the way you said in Denver, because I feel like Peyton himself isn't done, and he'll find a way to carry on playing. And he's the type of guy you almost feel like he'll do himself harm by feeling like he just wants to keep playing forever and ever.
Without a doubt, there's no way he is going to finish one win away from beating, you know, Favre's winning record. Not a chance.
But we talked about earlier how you end up with fits, in terms of schemes and fits and players fitting them, and it's just almost clear from that day, that first game, Kubiak got to play his scheme with Brock, and it kind of works because they've got the pieces around to make the plays and do that job.
Yeah, and it makes what isn't a great O-line a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that that line is great beyond any recognition, but because they're committing to a scheme that Kubiak wants to run, and it's not kind of a mishmash of both, where realistically it's a compromise where neither side's really happy and it doesn't really suit either of them.
Yeah.
I think that pragmatically they have to go with Osweiler because they have to try and make use of this, what was an historic looking defense up until a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and you partner that.
Give them a chance.
Partner that together. That is a perfect fit with that defense, and that's why I fancy the Broncos to win at home this week against the Patriots. Obviously, the injuries of the Patriots causing a few issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's an odd one because, I mean, I fancy the Pats just because
the Pats.
Yeah, and they seem to have a knack of when they need to get it done, they get it done. But I also think there's an element that, yeah, I can see the Broncos doing a number, but I think long term, I think the Broncos are going to struggle.
Yeah.
You know, I think ultimately, Cincinnati are probably going to have too much firepower in the AFC. I think the Steelers are going to have too much for them. And I just think there's too many more powerful offenses.
Yeah.
That makes sense, that ultimately they're going to have to get into some kind of shootout with a team in the playoffs potentially, and they're not going to be able to keep up.
No.
Because Brock Osweiler is great if he's on a pitch count.
Yeah.
But you don't want him slinging that thing 40 times.
And they're also perfect when you get a score up and you're ahead. It's an easy game from that position. Coming from behind, and like what you saw as well on Monday night with Taylor they can't stick to their usual game plan when they're behind trying to make a last minute drive. They're not used to playing that way, and that ultimately
No, put some they're not set up. They're set up to...
regardless of the fact it looked like Taylor was being selfish and should have actually taken himself out because he wasn't capable of throwing the ball the way he should have been.
Well, he's still probably throwing it better than the way the manual was throwing it when he came in, and they managed to lose it. That loss against the Jags could be a real one that's going to come back and haunt.
Moving on, do you have another backup quarterback to talk about? Or?
I mean, I think the Colts have done okay.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew Hasselbeck, as I was hearing on a podcast the other day, is a decent backup. But again, I think they're a deeply flawed team. And I think Gregson and Pagano will go, and they'll look to find. I mean, that's an attractive looking job, isn't it? With Luck at the helm. I mean, as much as he has struggled this year, people are going to be rubbing their hands together over that job.
Yeah, everybody wants a franchise quarterback. And speaking of that, the 49ers.
Sad. I mean, it is when you consider that. I mean, Dave Damashek posted a vine of the Kaepernick throw on the run in the NFC title game, where he's literally in the ground, off the ground, and slinging it into the end zone to over the top of Cam Chancellor to Bolden. Still one of the greatest throws I've ever seen. And you know, watching back through some of the. You know, the America's Games and things like that, you know, in terms of just a wow play. I mean, I remember literally leaping off my seat when that kind of happened. But I don't know, I think he'll come back. I think you put him in the right offensive scheme. And again, you play to his strengths. And it's what it's all about, you know. Look at the success that, you know, Tennessee are having with Mariota. You're not telling me that's anything to do with the system. You know, that's a lot of that's the fact that they put him in a system to thrive. You know, they're not asking him to make massive full throws. You know, they're asking him to make smart, sensible decisions where it's hit your back foot, get the ball out of your hands. And yes, there's an element of you'd like to maybe see him take a few more risks and chances, but that growth will come. But put these guys in positions to thrive.
Yeah, certainly. If Tom Sula stays around, that Kaepernick's gone from there.
But I think it's important to say that I wouldn't draft a QB. I think there's far deeper flaws with that roster.
Yes, indeed. Enjoy Blaine Gabbert for the last few weeks of the season.
To be fair to him, he's done okay, but.
Bit of a baptism going up there to the 12th man of Seattle last week.
Never going to happen. So,
I had other stories as well. You've got Lynch now having surgery for his hernia, but Rolls is obviously a perfect replacement for him.
Yeah, and I think it's on the surface seems a perfect replacement. I think there's also a little bit of that rookie unknown.
Almost like Freeman came out this year a bit when he was given more of a load, and he obviously just given a chance and he's going to go for it. And
yeah, but on the evidence that we've seen so far, without a doubt, he's looked a really nice fit for them. And I think they, you know, of all the NFC teams at the moment, he definitely seems like somebody that. Sorry, like a team that have the potential to secure that wild card spot.
Yeah, as the Cardinals look to wrap up that division, and looking very, very tidy on offense themselves at the moment.
Well, they're just a mirror image of Arians, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, he's an extraordinarily likable guy, and Anthony was talking about kind of he was gravitating towards the Panthers.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you appreciate the game as a whole. You have your team, but you appreciate the game as a whole. And, you know, you start kind of, I remember watching, I think watching the sort of patch last year when Gronk was in full fight, I started get sort of rooting for them. But you kind of have an affinity because it's something you like watching. And I think this year is whenever I've sort of watched the Cardinals, they've been fun to watch. And Palmer's just slinging it around, and you know he throws a few picks, and he just keeps slinging it around.
Is that your nomination for the team of Pipe and Slippers?
It would be, I'm afraid. Yeah, I mean, there was a point when Gurley was running hard, and it was more about Gurley than anything else. But obviously, you know, on the backup quarterback theme, Case Keenum didn't exactly come and set the world alight. But it's interesting that because, you know, Jeff Fisher seems to have got away with an awful lot, but you can't think he's going to survive this one, surely.
No, it's seemingly getting worse. That you start to turn a corner, but then it goes backwards. You think you've got Gurley and such great defensive pieces, but for you to not string the wins together and beat the teams that you're meant to beat, which is always the story about them, and they raise their game to play the Seahawks or the 49ers of past, yet they can't beat a poor team at home.
Baltimore, you know, they played down to. They just seem to play down to teams, and you just can't do that. And that has to come from. That has to be an element of the way that they are coached. Yeah. Surely, and it's indicative.
The whole culture, ethos of it. So, I think that's most of the stories covered. There's been quite a few others, I think.
I mean, there's a few teams down there. I mean, we were talking about that if the draft was today, your Chargers would be the number one overall pick.
Really? I think I seem to have missed that they are that low down
talking about. It's a surprise because you think when you think of Philip Rivers as a legitimate franchise quarterback, that at least 20 teams in that division would easily swap their quarterback out.
That's why, as I tweeted watching the game at the weekend, if you've got Rivers and you've got a high draft pick, if you don't pick the best O lineman on the board, you've got more problems for Phil. So that.
And the problem is that what is he 34?
Is he now? Maybe 35, maybe
35.
Sure. Yeah.
So realistically, you've got
a long left.
You've got a three, you know, unless you're going to start drinking what Brady's on, realistically, you've got a 3-year window. And I don't know if you're going to be able to fix the problems that they've got within 3 years. I mean, you know, you've got a dwindling, you've got a fan base and a home stadium that is never really home. I mean, out of all the teams really to move to LA, I think they would be the ones that I would personally like to see move.
Yeah, but now there's talk that it's unlikely that they'll even be in a temporary position to move a team there next year, which you almost feel like, although there were some rumours and talk that Rivers doesn't want to go to LA, but for him to get there next year and you can have almost new base of fans added to it and a whole buzz around the team, you could see them doing in that move.
I mean, yeah, put it this way, number one pick and moving to LA would be a real shot in the arm if you were going to pick, you know, Joey Bosa, is it? I mean, I've seen some. Yeah, I was watching just a highlight reel. I mean, I try and follow the big, you know, the big huge names that are going to come out. I don't watch a lot of college ball just because of the time, and obviously the time that it's on as well always makes it quite tough. But some of the plays, he makes one play where he shreds a blocker, and then just blows up the running back. It's unreal. The fact that he sheds the blocker first is unreal. It's really, really interesting stuff if they could, take the first pick and move to LA all in the same breath.
I wonder if they did move to LA, if they had to do maybe some more political picks and try and get a big name out of one of the LA colleges to almost entice and encourage the local fans to follow them.
Yeah, it's I think that's why, you know, every time they talk about it's going to happen, there is that element of, well, maybe next year. And I think that the NFL are so terrified of getting it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's an untapped market with endless potential, but at the same time, if you're going to do it, you have to get it right.
Seeing as we're talking about big global things happening next year, quick mention that teams have been released for next year's international games in London.
Yeah, and an interesting one was obviously the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
Are playing is it the third game?
Yeah. But potential to play the second as well. It's still, it's all about the Rams. Rams are playing for sure in the second game, and then their opponent will be the team from the AFC, NFC East,
who matches their record. So wherever the Rams finish in that league, which looks like it's going to be third.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, you know, Blaine Gabbert, 49ers, don't exactly look like they're going to set the world up on fire, as much as the Rams do play down to teams. So yeah, and it could be.
That will be the game in Twickenham.
Yeah.
So one game at Twickenham next year.
And Mexico has been talked about. They can overcome a few logistical problems. Will be a fourth international fixture.
But obviously, you look at highlights for us UK fans. You think you want to go see Bortles versus a fit Andrew Luck? Would be a nice game.
Yeah.
In terms of just those players to watch. Gurley.
Another divisional matchup.
Yeah. And then if the Bengals do prove to be who they could be going on through the end of this season and the playoffs and potential Super Bowl run here this year, they might be a nice team to watch next year. But none of our fandom teams over the Chargers or the Niners.
No, well, not the
we'd they're that bad. Be scurrying even down the NFL to being nice, tickets. The NFL being that nice to us Brits, and not sending the two worst teams. So.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's obviously jumping a little bit further ahead. We've still got a couple little things to tidy up, in the more recent past. Week 11.
But the recent future.
That sounds good. I've lost it.
Future boy.
Excellent. Bringing it back to a little bit of fantasy football and our leads. We have a couple of awards just to hand out for you to choose from for week 11. But before that, just to mention, from week 9 and 10, I'm going to just hand out a couple. First of all, the move of the week. Well, it was move of the week because Rudder's Niners in the Move the Sticks League picked up Langford at running back ahead of his two breakout performances, 22 points and 30 points in weeks 9 and 10, helping victories for Big Bro. So really tidy pickup there, but obviously my little dig is it always helps when you're top of the waiver wire list to pick up. So he gets the moves of the week for those 2 weeks. And it would only be right that I give myself a mistake of the week, I think, for, well, it was week 10, in the Move the Sticks League as well. And more because it was a historical day in up there in Denver. And I played Peyton Manning to cover my Matt Ryan bye. Minus 6.6 points is worse.
Yeah, as up till 12 months ago would have been a perfectly legitimate thing to do, but clearly not.
So left myself way short when I had five other players on a bye in that team that week. Too many Falcons and Chargers on the roster. So Peyton was a bit of a bad move. So I'll take the I've made a huge mistake award. Moving on to week 11. Some moves for you to choose from. Carl, Move the Sticks League. Picked up and played Sproles for what was his best performance of the season since week one. Helping
looked on fire on that first drive. He was pumped and you were thinking, hang on, here come the Eagles, you know. And then Jameis.
Took over. Hall of Lame League. Kicker Love. This is from Magicians Alliance and Aaron. He's got Adam Vinatieri on his team. But he wasn't happy to play him against the Falcons, which is a bit of an odd one. And he picked up and played Matt Crosby. 16 points, highest kicker of the week. So nailed a bit of streaming kickers there.
Yeah, he'd had a massive shank the week before.
So bit of an odd move, but it worked out. Two moves in the Pipe and Slippers League. Famous Jameis, as you just mentioned, was slotted in to Tony's lineup with 29 points, helping him to a win. And then Paul and Sharkey's won, pulling out a victory thanks to playing James White. Slotted him in 16.6 points on with those two touchdowns on Monday night. They are your moves of the week.
I can't go for the kicker one because it just seems a bit, why would you drop Benetieri? Seems an odd, even though it's a great move, it seems an odd move. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, Benetieri is probably the, still, 40, him and Gostkowski.
Yeah, still the most consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I like Tucker as well, of the Ravens. Probably my favourite kicker, actually, just because of the way he strikes it.
He looks so good in those black pants. I don't know.
Look, can we just keep our private conversations private?
It's a very slimming look that the Ravens have with those black pants. I don't know.
As much as I'm always down for a bit of kicker love, I'm going to say Jameis.
Yeah.
And mainly because of the fact that, you know, he was on the he wasn't even picked up initially, was he, on the in the Pipe and Slippers League, and when you consider that that was a you know, a dynasty league that, you know, you're going to try and build around a, you know, very much so you're going to try and build around a franchise quarterback that's going to be there for the for the long term.
Well, that's why Tony still has RG3 sat on his long roster.
Well, I've got cap, you know, for the very same reason. But I mean, they were talking. I mean, we watched the game, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he just looked in so much control, and you'd have no idea that he was a first year quarterback.
No, and then you hear snippets of how he talks to his players in the locker room. He's such a competitor and such a good guy for a locker room as well, particularly that locker room, for that type of personality to come in after what was a terrible couple of years.
Yeah,
he's
I mean
a perfect fit almost.
Yeah, and he's dealt with some adversity, and obviously there was that I read about the ESPN show, or CNN show, that was bringing up the rape allegations and stuff again. So he's having to deal with stuff. I mean, some of it doesn't look like, you know, with the crab leg incident, it didn't exactly help himself. And, you know, getting suited up, Jimbo Fisher had to go and sling his
bit
hook,
too much of a competitor.
Yeah, but I don't know. On the whole, the personality wise was something that we all gravitated to towards the draft. So before the draft, so. Yeah.
So well done, Tony.
Could be a great long-term pickup, just not a move of the week.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to sell Tony Romo, but not having much luck at the moment. Trying to negotiate a fair rate for his
old glass back.
Yeah. But I hope he has a big week tomorrow, and maybe I can sell high and.
Well, I don't believe for 1 minute that that they shouldn't have won at least one or two of those games with Whedon, you know, and
Castle in the
centre, because when you consider that Michael Vick's had a win, you know, and there's other backup quarterbacks that have come in and done okay. But Romo obviously is a massive, massive upgrade for that team.
Moving on to the I've Made a Huge Mistake Award. Nominations from the Hall of Lame, Forest Green Army played Marshawn Lynch. Obviously not aware that he ended up being inactive. Mistakes in the Pipe and Slippers League. Kenny waived Tyler Lockett ahead of his breakout game. 17 points, I believe, there for Lockett.
In the Pipe and Slippers?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was quite happy with that because that meant he didn't play against me, but I don't know if he'd been playing him throughout the season, but to waive a youngster like that.
Yeah. Where's he off his roster?
Yeah. So, we then have James. No, that's not James. One Cheddars. Who's One Cheddars? It's not James. That's Mansell. Is it Mansell? Yeah. Mansell and the One Cheddars in week 11. Apologies for this. For playing Emmanuel Sanders, who was also inactive.
Yes.
So, that's actually it. It was...
It has to be. I'm sorry. It has to be Tyler Lockett. Even if... You know, not so much just for not playing him. I can maybe understand them not playing, but to waive him completely in a league where you're trying to build, you know, a roster of prospective, you know, long-term keepers. I mean, you know, when I look at my team at the moment, I feel like I'm dead thin on the ground.
Yeah.
But I've kind of got you that one eye.
Stopped up next year.
Yeah, you know, it's... Well, if I can just somehow cobble through, you know, and I'm looking at my roster now, and I'm thinking, you know, well, Joseph, you know, I picked up Joseph Fourier,
yeah,
because I was thinking, you know, well, Pat's like a tight, you know, two tight ends set, you know, Scott Chandler hasn't exactly set the world on fire that they picked up from Buffalo, so maybe, and then you know, you stash in like, oh, Dion Lewis on IR. You know, Lance Dunbar and IR. You know, Monty Ball, you've got to expect, is going to come back at some point.
Yeah.
You know, so you're doing all these and stashing them. And, you know, like Chris Matthews got picked up by the Baltimore Ravens. So it's like, right, get him.
Yeah. I waved him off my bench in that league. I went for an old man, actually. I picked up Wes Welker. Tidy little pickup.
Yeah, I mean, it's the trade-off between trying to help yourself now and not, and making sure that you keep in it, but also one eye on, you know, moving forward. So I think I've struck a real good balance. But obviously, you know, going into the next few weeks is real make or break in terms of making sure I'm in the playoffs.
Yeah, we've got all our leagues, in fact, have different playoff schedules. Move the Sticks one is actually anyone that's seemingly straight up normal. 14 weeks is which is pretty standard with the 2 weeks of the playoffs. The Hall of Lame, when we set it up 3 years ago, I set it up wanting to make use of all 17 weeks of the regular NFL season. So that one's a week longer, which causes a few headaches in week 17 for a championship game. And then the Pipe and Slippers tried to be funky with some six-man playoffs. So there's only 2 weeks to go there to get into the playoffs, but more chance to get in. So all a bit different.
That's what we're gonna touch on, a little sneak preview ahead of next week. I think that's what we're going to look at, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. We'll focus in on those and the playoffs. A quick point to round off here is that you did well in the picks last week and picked up 4 games on myself and have taken the lead.
You're a gentleman for bringing that up.
Congratulations on the lead in the Pipe and Slippers group. 1,300 points, whatever that is in picks, I don't know.
He's better than everybody else, I think, we need to know.
We're clear 1 and 2. That's all we need to know.
Well, look, I mean, as long as the order stays, you know, as it is at the moment, you know,
yeah,
is it homeostasis shall prevail?
You want a quick picks for tomorrow's 3 games? I'm going Lions, Panthers, and Packers. Lions against the Eagles at home. Panthers
I believe that is exactly what I've picked. That was why I was having a moment because like I'm sure I'm pulling up my picks as we speak. Lions, Panthers,
I just really, really am dreading the fact that somehow the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, something funky happens down there and they win 37-36.
I mean, I kind of don't want them to now because I think the whole, you know, Jerry Jones, Greg Hardy, and I'm all for second chances, but the guy just seems to be a little bit of a, you know, a bad egg and, you know, don't get me wrong, we have my reservations about Adrian Peterson seemingly getting off the hook, but at least he seems to have been able to just shut his mouth and get on with what he's tasked to do. It's the Cowboys. They're relatively unlikable franchise. I think it's one of those is that, you know, if you support them, you know, you support them. I think if you don't, I think they're just...
Love them or hate them.
Yeah, I think there's other franchises that you look at and say, well, yeah, I don't really support them, but... Yeah,
I'm not offended by them.
No, not in any way, shape or form.
Yeah. So, the Dallas Cowboys are the Marmite of the NFL. Are we saying?
I believe that's a perfect analogy.
So I hope everyone around the world knows what Marmite is. Obviously, the boys down under enjoy their Vegemite.
Oh, no accent. I'm disappointed.
It's been too long. I'm a bit rusty. So
you were more of a South African gent when you were...
Yeah. But Vegemite. I do enjoy Vegemite. It's not as harsh as Marmite. Completely different flavour.
I was one to say nothing better than Sunderland as well, for some reason, when we start talking accents.
Good show.
We'll appreciate that.
So, I think that wraps it up.
It does. It's a high note, a real high note to finish on.
Just us two having a conversation that not really anyone else understands.
Exactly. Well, the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Excellent. So, from at Stephen Rudkin
and at Roger M. Kirby,
we shall see you next week.
I've been sipping a tea.